All right, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning to Grace Life Bible Church. We'd also like to extend a welcome to those who are joining us live right now or might be watching this after the fact. We appreciate you tuning in and being a part of our ministry here at Grace Life Bible Church, albeit remotely. A lot of you probably are not aware of this, but this weekend, the first Sunday in November, marks the 15th anniversary of Grace Life Bible Church. We started to meet 15 years ago in the cafeteria of Wayne's Manufacturing Shop down at Apex up the road here. Ernie, can you believe it's been 15 years? I can't believe it's been 15 years. Who else was here at the beginning? Kurt, you were here at the beginning. Obviously, my wife was here at the beginning. Jeff, you were here when we got in the building in 2008. I remember when I saw you the first time, Jeff. Wayne, obviously, and a few others were there on that first time. It's crazy to think it's been that long, but it definitely has been. A lot has happened in 15 years, but I did want to acknowledge that. The church started 15 years ago, and it's been a ride, that's for sure, as we have gone through the past decade and a half. I was 30 years old when we started the church. Before that, I'd been ministering for 5 years at the church, or 7 years at the church in Muskegon. And so it's been a great time. A lot has happened. This morning we want to continue with our series of studies in the book of Galatians. Last Sunday we finished chapter 1, and I talked to you about the pie illustration, and we went through all of that. I have gotten some interesting feedback from some folks about that online this week, and some have appreciated it, others maybe not so much, but that's sort of the way things go, I guess. I have read everything everybody has sent me. I will be honest. The thing I struggle with the most in ministry is finding time to respond to people out through email and stuff like that. It's just really hard to have time to do that and still keep moving ahead. You know, when I'm done here on Sunday and I go home, I wake up tomorrow morning and I got only a week to get ready for the next Sunday. And so time just is what it is and so forth. But let's read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, and we'll get into what I want to cover with you this morning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. I pray as we look at some things related to the connection between Acts 15 and the Jerusalem Council and Galatians chapter 2, that we will have clarity and understanding from your word, that we will, as always, be careful to rightly divide the word of truth, to put the lines of demarcation where they belong and not make too many of them or too few of them. And as we look at this, I just pray that we'll be edified and encouraged. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as you look at chapter 2, verse 1, the first word is then. So that tells you right away, is chapter 2, verse 1 a continuation of what he had been talking about at the end of chapter 2? So here's what I want to do. By the way, I've titled this message, The Jerusalem Council, Triangulating Acts 15 and Galatians 2. The Jerusalem Council, Triangulating Acts 15 and Galatians 2. The first word of chapter 2 tells you that it's building on what he's been talking about in chapter 1. So let's just go back up through chapter 1, and I want to read through here because we have to remind ourselves of the context that we've been dealing with. So starting in verse 11, Paul begins to certify and give his certification of his apostleship and gospel. Verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Excuse me, verse 18. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James the Lord's brother, Now these things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards, another time word, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to where? Jerusalem. Folks, you have to get the flow of Paul's movements here, because chapter 2, verse 1 is building upon the context there from chapter 1, verse 11, all the way down, as Paul is explaining his movements after his conversion. So we've seen, when Paul got saved, when he goes, he's blind, he goes into Damascus, Ananias comes, he lays hands on him, the scales fall from his eyes, he takes food, and immediately he goes into Arabia. And he's in Arabia for an undisclosed amount of time. When he is done in Arabia, he returns again unto Damascus. That's chapter 1, verse 17. Neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before. Verse 16, sorry. To reveal his son to me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Verse 18, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem. So Paul gets saved, he goes into Arabia for an undisclosed amount of time. When he's done in Arabia, he returns to Damascus. He's in Damascus how long? 3 years, according to verse 18. After 3 years in Damascus, then he finally goes where? He finally goes to Jerusalem to see Peter. So at that point, has Paul already been saved for a minimum of 3 years before he even goes to Jerusalem to meet Peter? Okay. Then, verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Verse 21, afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So when we last saw Paul at the end of chapter 1, he says, by his own testimony at the end of Galatians 1, that he was in the region of Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Go back quickly with me and get Acts 22. So Paul goes, after 3 years, he goes to Jerusalem to see Peter. He's in Damascus for 3 years. Then when he leaves Jerusalem, he goes into the region of Syria and Cilicia. We know that because it said afterwards, after he went to Jerusalem, that's where he went. Acts 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, so this would be the time when he says come again unto Jerusalem, this is his visit to Jerusalem after 3 years in Damascus that is discussed in Galatians chapter 1. Remember, when Paul left to go to Damascus at the beginning of Acts 9, where did he leave from? He left from Jerusalem. So now he is back in Jerusalem for the first time in 3+ years here in Acts 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him, in the context, that's a reference to Christ, saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive my testimony, they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Okay? And they gave him audience unto these words, and he's lifted up his voice, and he says a few other things. So when Paul is in Jerusalem after 3 years in Damascus, does the Lord appear to him in a trance and tell him to get out of the city? Okay, go over to Acts chapter 9. So again, this is review. We've talked about this, but because of the Bible conference and some intermittent other subjects, we need to remind ourselves about this because we're tracking with Paul's movements now after his conversion. Notice Acts 9, verse 29, and spake boldly in the manner of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent him forth to where? To Tarsus. The chief cities of Syria and Cilicia are Tarsus and Caesarea. So when Paul, he goes up to Jerusalem after 3 years in Damascus, the Lord appears to him in a trance and he says, get out of the city, they're not going to receive your testimony concerning me. And from there he goes into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and that is exactly where we find him in Acts 9, verses 29 through 30. Come over to chapter 11 of the book of Acts. Come over to chapter 11 of the book of Acts. Acts 11, verse 22, when Barnabas is going to come from Jerusalem, he's going to find Saul in that exact area. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he was come, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of much faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Troas for to seek who? So where is Saul during that time? He's in Troas. He's in Syria. He's in Cilicia. He's in that exact area. Now come back with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. Go back now to Galatians chapter 1. So, as we think about what's going on here, we have the end of chapter 1, verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. That's what we just read about in the book of Acts. The Lord appeared to him in Acts 22, told him to get out of the city. He leaves Jerusalem. He goes into Syria and Cilicia. Verse 22, and was unknown unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So when he left Jerusalem, he went exactly where the text says he went. He went into Syria and Cilicia. He did not hang out in Judea because they didn't know him. He was unknown to their face. He didn't spend any time there. Verse 22, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now we have chapter 2, verse 1. Then, after how much time? 14 years. So if you're just doing the math in your brain, how long is he in Syria and Cilicia? 14 years. Because he gets saved, he immediately confers not with flesh and blood, he goes into Arabia. He's in Arabia for an undisclosed amount of time. When he's done in Arabia, he goes back to Damascus. How long is he in Damascus? 3 years. After he's 3 years in Damascus, then he goes up to Jerusalem and he abodes 15 days with Peter. From there, he leaves. The Lord tells him to leave in a trance and he goes into Syria and Cilicia. And then the next time word we have in chapter 2, verse 1 is then after how many years? Then after 14 years, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So that Paul's, the next time, according to those verses, that he's in Jerusalem is 14 years after he left the first time. You following that? Okay? Now, the first word of verse 1 of chapter 2 is then. Indicates that Paul is continuing. He's continuing the personal chronology that he was just discussing in chapter 1. Okay? He's still talking about the same thing. Now, most commentators think that this is the same visit to Jerusalem. So, when he goes in chapter 2, verse 1, after 14 years to Jerusalem, most commentators think that this is the events described in Acts 15 at the so-called Jerusalem Council meeting. Okay. However, there are several differences in the accounts, which we'll talk about here in a minute, between Acts 15 and Galatians 2, which has led some to believe that the visit described here, this one here, is a visit that took place in Acts 11 when Paul carried the famine relief to Jerusalem. Okay, so let's go back to Acts 11. Now, you're going to have to put your thinking caps on, okay? Acts 11, we were just there. I should have told you to mark it, but I forgot to. Sorry about that. We just read verse 22 through verse 25, where Barnabas, in verse 25, Barnabas departed to Troas to seek Saul. Verse 26, And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now hang on a minute. If we add one more year, that's 4 years now, right? He went to Arabia. He went back to Damascus. He spent 3 years in Damascus. Then he went to Jerusalem, spent 15 days. And from there he went where? Into Syria and Cilicia. And then he's there for an undisclosed amount of time. And then Barnabas finds him at Troas and brings him back to Antioch. And he's there for a whole year, according to verse 26. Okay? And they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Verse 27. And in these days came prophets from where? Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, or a famine, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and who? Saul. So notice, it doesn't say he went to Jerusalem. It says he went into where? Judea. Now, Jerusalem is in Judea, but the text does not say that he explicitly went where? To Jerusalem. Look at it again. Verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So do Barnabas and Saul carry the famine relief monies from Antioch into Judea and help distribute it to the churches? Okay? Now, some people will say that when he leaves here with Barnabas to do the famine relief effort, that is what Galatians chapter 2 verse 1 is talking about when it says, and after 14 years I went up to Jerusalem and took Barnabas with me and Titus. He also mentions there in Galatians chapter 1. Okay? So some people think that Paul went to Jerusalem by revelation in, let's hold your hand here and just flip back. You need to understand what they're saying here. Galatians 2, verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation. You see how verse 2 says that Paul went to Jerusalem after 14 years and he did it by revelation. You see where it says it in verse 2? Okay? So what some people will say, go back to Acts 11, they will say that him going by revelation, that is what happened there in Acts 11 with Agabus, prophesying of the famine, and then him and Barnabas carrying the famine relief into Judea. So the first thing I want to say is this. Does anywhere in Acts 11 say that he went to Jerusalem? No. Does it say he went into Judea? Yes. Could he have gone into Judea without necessarily going to Jerusalem? Shake your head yes, because that's possible, right? So, in my mind, there are at least four problems with the view that says that Galatians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 are referring to this situation here with Agabus. There are four problems with that view in my opinion. Number one is the obvious one. Does Acts 11 say that he ever went to Jerusalem? No, it does not say that. Does it say he went to Judea? Yes, it does not say whether or not he explicitly went to Jerusalem. But you see, it's him and Barnabas. So people will say, well, that's the same thing. I don't think that's necessarily the case. So reason number one is it doesn't say that he went there, okay? Reason number two, go back, hold your hand here and go back to Galatians chapter 1 and 2. My second reason is context. Okay? Notice chapter 2 verse 1. And I went up by revelation. All right? So is Paul's visit the result of a revelation telling him he needs to go? Now, in the context, who has Paul been receiving revelations from? Agabus and the other men who were apostles before him, or from Jesus Christ? Go back to chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of who? Jesus Christ, okay? Paul is getting his revelation directly from who? From Christ, okay? And then we have this stressing here of how he is explicitly not interacting with Peter and the apostles, and how little time he is spending with them after his immediate conversion, right? So is Paul going to great lengths at the Galatians chapter 1 to designate and demarcate his apostleship from these other men? Okay? So then when you come down to chapter 2 and it talks about by revelation, I don't take that to be a reference to what a Jewish prophet Agabus told a bunch of people in Antioch. I take him going up by revelation to be the revelation of Jesus Christ telling him he needs to go up there. Okay? Furthermore, expounding on that point, so Paul is taking his instructions directly from the glorified Christ by revelation. There is no reason in the context of Galatians 1 and 2 to think that Paul is now all of a sudden referring to Agabus and not the glorified Christ, when in the immediate context he explicitly is talking about the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. So if he's going by revelation, you connect the immediate context up, and it's obvious to me that he's going to Jerusalem for this meeting because Christ tells him he needs to what? He needs to go. Furthermore, or a sub-point to that, go back to Acts 22. Who is clearly directing the movements of Saul of Tarsus at this point? It is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, who appears to him when he's in Jerusalem in a trance and tells him to get out of the city. Christ does. Acts 22, verse 17, we already read this. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Paul's decision to leave Jerusalem in the first place is the direct result of a revelation from who? From Jesus Christ. So why in the context of Galatians 1 and 2 now should we think that he's all of a sudden talking about Agabus? It doesn't make sense. Okay, so reason number one why I don't think that the trip to Jerusalem in Galatians chapter 2 is what is recorded in Acts 11 about the famine relief is, number one, Acts 11 says nothing about him going to Jerusalem. Reason number two, Paul is taking his directions explicitly from the risen, glorified Christ by revelation in the early portion of his ministry. The third reason is the timing. The timing. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Not enough time has expired to make Acts 11, the famine relief trip of Acts 11, correspond to what Paul's saying in the testimony he's given in Galatians 1 and 2. Think about it. Look at verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen immediately. I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto where? Damascus. Okay? Then, after three years in Damascus, he goes up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And abode with him 15 days. And other the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now look at verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I what? That's an important verse. Is Paul telling the truth about where he went and when he went there? Okay? Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Verse 2, then, after 14 years. See, the third problem with thinking that Galatians 2 is referring to the famine relief effort of Acts 11 is there's simply not enough time. By the time Paul goes in Galatians chapter 2, it's 14 years after he left Jerusalem. Well, before that, he was 3 years where? In Damascus. That's at least 17 years. Plus however much time he was in Arabia that we're not told about. So there's a 17-plus year time span between when Paul first gets saved and when he ends up at Jerusalem, and he ends up in Jerusalem, according to Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You following that? So number one, the text doesn't say that's what happened. Number two, there's Paul's taking his instructions from the glorified Christ, not Agabus. Number three, there's just simply not enough time. There's no way that 17 years has transpired between in Acts 9, 10, and 11 for that to work the timing out. You following that? And the third thing, you're in Galatians, right? And I'm on the fourth thing, right? Fourth thing, yes, thank you. And the fourth thing is Titus. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, Galatians 2, 1. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And took who? And took Titus also. So, on that trip, who goes? Paul, Barnabas, and who? Did you read anything in Acts 11 about Titus going? You didn't read anything in Acts 11 about Titus going. Now, I'll have more to say about Titus in a minute. So let me just recap. There are four reasons why I do not believe that Galatians 2, 1 through 2 is referring to the famine relief effort of Acts 11. Number one, Acts 11 says nothing about them going to Jerusalem. Number two, Paul is taking his instructions from the revelation of Jesus Christ, not Agabus. Number three, the timing does not square with the number of years that are laid out by Paul in Galatians chapters 1 and 2, where he says that he lies not about what he's saying. And number four, Titus is on this journey along with Saul and Barnabas, and Titus is not mentioned anywhere in relationship to the famine relief effort in Acts 11. Okay, now, I have more to say about Titus. I'll get to him in a minute. Can I have the tablet, please, Mark? So, in his book, Understanding the Book of Galatians, Charles F. Baker offers the following comparison between Luke's account in Acts 15 and Paul's account in Galatians chapter 2. So hold your hand here in Galatians chapter 2 and come get Acts 15 with me. Acts 15. Verse 1. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men came from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. Now, hang on a minute. Does that sound at all like Galatians chapter 1? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another what? So whatever is going to happen here in Acts 15 is directly related to people teaching that you could not be saved unless you kept what? The law of Moses. Were they undermining the grace of God by seeking to put people under the law? How do you cancel out or make the grace of Christ of none effect? We've already studied this in Galatians chapter 1. You do that by putting them under what? Under the law. Acts chapter 15, verse 1, and certain men which came from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas, and notice, and certain other of them, who might that include, do you think? That might just happen to include who? Titus. Luke doesn't tell you who it is here in Acts 15. What does Paul tell you it is in Galatians chapter 2? So there again is, in my opinion, very sound biblical proof and evidence that the meeting that he goes to Jerusalem for in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is not the famine relief effort of Acts 11. It is the Jerusalem Council meeting of Acts 15. Look at it again, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation between them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. The question of do the Gentiles need to keep the law is that exactly the theological issue that is at stake in the book of Galatians. Shake your head, yes. Okay? Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Okay? So, I am going to say it in no uncertain terms. What Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 2 is the Jerusalem Council meeting. It is 17 years total after his conversion, and he goes up by revelation. Acts 15 doesn't tell you that. Paul tells you that. So are there certain things that are told to you in Acts 15 and certain things that are told to you in Galatians and vice versa? So that's what this table is about that I have up here. Okay? So according to Luke in Acts 15, if you look at the first line, the church sent them, Acts 15:3. But Paul says in Galatians 2 that he went by revelation. Luke says in Luke 15, verse 2, that he was accompanied by Barnabas. And then look, and again, he says, and certain other of them. So Titus is not mentioned, but certain other of them are. But Paul tells you in Galatians 2:1 on the other side of the column that he's accompanied by Barnabas and who? And Titus. We know from Acts 5:5 that we just read that he was, actually we need to read that. We stopped at verse 4. You're in Acts 15 still, right? Look at verse 5. Then rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. So what's the position of the Pharisees? The Gentiles need to keep the law and be circumcised after the manner of Moses, right? So Acts 15:5, he is opposed by the Pharisees. He's opposed by false brethren. Get Galatians 2, so we should have Acts 15 and Galatians 2. Galatians 2, verse 4. And because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about those Pharisees who wanted to said that they all needed to keep what? The law. Then, on the right-hand side of the column, the apostles added nothing to Paul's understanding. That's Galatians 2:6. Notice, but when these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Do they add anything to Paul's understanding? No. Paul talks about that in Galatians 2:6. Luke does not mention it in Acts 15. Next line, or next row. There's a distinguishing made between the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. Look at verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. But yet we have no mention of that in Acts 15. And then we have some interesting things the other way. Peter's speech, go to Acts 15, about dealing with Cornelius, is in Acts 15 verses 7 through 11. Acts 15 verse 7, And when there had been much disputing, Peter arose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago, there's another clue, man. A good while ago. Fill in the blank, Galatians, at least roughly how many years? 14. Give or take. Is that a good while ago? Okay, Acts 15:7, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we have believed it through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, Peter says that. It's talked about there in Acts 15, verses 7 through 11. But Paul doesn't mention it in Galatians chapter 2. Now, this doesn't mean, folks, that these things are contradictory to each other. It just means that this is why we need all of the Word of God. We need all the Word of God to be able to compare Scripture with Scripture, verse with verse, to be able to complete a full picture. And then James, in Acts 15, he's going to chime in, and he gives a dissertation or a discourse about Amos 9, starting in Acts 15, verses 13 through 18. I'm not going to read all of that, but you can see in the next column, Paul doesn't mention that. And then if you go to Acts 15, let's go to verse, go to Acts 15 and drop down to verse, well, start at verse, we'll read a few parts of this, verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Now, isn't that interesting? They're sending it to the exact regions where Paul has been for how long? 14 years. Okay? For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these. So there's letters that are drafted to the people of these areas stating what the outcome of the Jerusalem Council meeting was that is talked about in Acts 15, but Paul doesn't mention them in Galatians chapter 2. And finally, what is mentioned as Paul in the book of Acts, this is Paul's third time he's been in Jerusalem. But according to the book of Galatians, he's only been there how many times? So according to the book of Acts, does he go after 3 years to Jerusalem and spend time with Peter? And then he's in a trance, and Jesus Christ tells him to leave and flee the city and go into Syria and Cilicia. Right? While he's in Syria and Cilicia, Agabus comes, prophesies, Paul and Barnabas carry the famine relief. Okay? Now I'm going to correct that. So you see what Baker just did. Baker is assuming that according to Acts, he's in Jerusalem three times, but the text of Acts never actually says that, does it? It does not. Okay? So the next question that we can get rid of that, Mark. So even if you It's an assumption, it's an inference to say that when he went to carry the famine relief, that he went to Jerusalem. The text never says that. It just says he went to where? Judea. Okay? But even if it did, let's just say it did, is it perfectly acceptable for Paul to highlight and accent those parts of his ministry that he thinks meet the requirements? But I'm going to say to you that I think that's a confirmation of the Holy Spirit that he didn't go to Jerusalem when he carried the famine relief. Because he says in Galatians 1 and 2 that he's only been in Jerusalem within 17 years of his conversion. How many times has he been to Jerusalem? Twice. Once after 3 years in Damascus, and the next time he's in Jerusalem, according to Paul's own testimony, when he says he lies not, it's 17 years later, it's 14 years after he left Jerusalem the first time. So for me, it never says in Acts 11 that when he carried that famine relief, that he actually went to Jerusalem. All it says is he went to where? Judea. And would it make sense for him to have carried the famine relief into Judea, but have stayed far away from Jerusalem, given the Lord's warning in the trance to get out of the town? Okay? So I think we need to think about these things carefully. Now the next section, the next question that we have to answer, and we kind of been talking about it the whole time, so these things kind of tend to run together. And I'll just say, I'm not going to read all this stuff from my notes, is how do you count the years? I've kind of already told you how I count the years. I take the movements to be very straightforward. He gets saved. He immediately goes into Arabia. He's in Arabia for an undisclosed amount of time. He leaves Arabia and he goes back to Damascus. He's in Damascus for 3 years. Then he leaves and goes and spends 15 days with Peter in Jerusalem. When he's in Jerusalem for 15 days, the Lord appears to him in a trance and he tells him to get out of the city and go into Syria and Cilicia. And he's in Syria and Cilicia for 14 more years. You take the 14 years, you add them to the 7 years, you come out with at least 17 years, plus however long he's in Arabia, which we're not told. Okay? Now, Baker thinks that the 14 years should be counted from the time of his conversion. That is what I also think. I think the 14 years should be counted from... No, that is not what I think. I think the 14 years are added after the 3. So I think there's 17 years. Minimum. Okay? So, it's not my intention to be confusing, but this stuff kind of just kind of all jumbles up there a little bit, and we got to try to make sure we understand it. Now go back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. Now look at verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took who? To me, guys, Titus is a massive clue as to when this is. We just saw in Acts 15 that the church in Antioch, they sent Paul, they sent Barnabas, and certain other people. One of these certain other people is who? Titus. It's interesting to think about. So one of the things I did in my research for this message is I went and I said, okay, when does Titus show up for the first time? It's certain, man, it'd just be so sweet if he was just mentioned in Acts 15, wouldn't it? It would make this easy. But he's not. The first canonical mention of Titus, come to 2 Corinthians 2. The first canonical mention, let me explain. What do I mean by canonical? I mean the first mention of Titus in the order of the books that they're laid out in your Bible. The canon. The first canonical mention of Titus, the first time he's mentioned, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Now you need to think about this. Who's he writing to? The Corinthians. Okay? When is Paul in Corinth? He's in Corinth in like Acts 18. Okay? Titus is not mentioned in Acts 18. He's not mentioned at all in the book of Acts. But he's mentioned here. Notice what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. And what he's talking about here is when he was in Athens, I believe, if my memory of the context is not mistaken. But notice that he says, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now we give thanks unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Now, Titus is mentioned here as Paul writes the book of 2 Corinthians. He is not mentioned at all in the book of Acts. And the inference is, do they know, do the Corinthians know who Titus is? Well, if they don't know who he is, why bother what? Why bother mentioning him? So there's a strong inference that you could make that they knew who Titus was. Okay? Now, the first time that Titus is mentioned in the chronological order of the writing of Paul's epistles is the time that we're talking about here in Galatians chapter 2. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. I need to stop talking and find it. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. So this is a second trip to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and who comes with him? Titus. So, think about it. That's the Jerusalem council meeting, and Titus is already traveling with Paul. Does it make sense that he's potentially still with Paul when he shows up in Corinth in Acts 18? That the Corinthians know who he is, and that when he writes 2 Corinthians and he says he found not Titus, that the Corinthians know exactly who he's talking about. Okay, now why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up because Titus is not mentioned in the book of Acts. And when the famine relief was carried in Acts 11, it was just Paul and who? Barnabas. And they only went into Judea according to the text. But now we have this occurrence here of Paul, Barnabas, and Titus all going by revelation after 14 years. The timing fits. The members of the party, the travel party fit. And they also fit with Acts 15 that certain other people went with Paul and Barnabas. Titus just happens to be one of them. My point is, guys, is a long-winded way of saying to you, Acts 15 is the same as Galatians 2. In other words, Paul's trip to Jerusalem in Galatians chapter 2 is for the purpose of him participating in the Jerusalem council meeting of Acts 15. It is not when he carried the famine relief into Judea in Acts 11. The timing doesn't fit. It doesn't say he went to Jerusalem. So let me recap my reasons again. They are again as follows. Number one, Acts 11 doesn't say he went to Jerusalem. Number two, Paul's taking his instructions by the revelation directly from Jesus Christ. Number three, the timing of the years doesn't fit. It doesn't match the time that Paul lays out in Galatians 1 and 2. And number four, the Titus thing to me is a huge deal. To me, there is no way timing-wise, companion-wise, any of the other things that the famine relief effort of Acts 11 is what Galatians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 are talking about. Galatians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 are talking about the Jerusalem council meeting of Acts 15. And that fits with what Paul's talking about in the book of Galatians and what Luke says in Acts 15 the meeting was for. The meeting was to decide whether or not the Gentiles needed to keep what? The law and be circumcised. Now, let me figure out where I'm actually at here. Go back to Galatians 2 if you're not there. Listen, guys, the reality is that sometimes Bible study is hard. All right? We know 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes it takes mental effort and energy to figure stuff out. And if it were easy, anybody and everybody would be doing it. All right? Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, verse 2. And I went up by revelation. So again, I've already sort of mentioned this, but let me just say again. Paul made this trip to Jerusalem by the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord says you need to go there. If there's a big meeting in Jerusalem to settle the issue of Gentiles and whether or not they need to keep the law, do you think Jesus Christ would want the apostle of the Gentiles at that meeting? I think so. Okay? The Lord revealed to him that he needed to go to settle the controversy over whether the Gentiles should be required to be circumcised and keep the law. When Luke tells the story, he doesn't include the information about the revelation to go. When Paul tells the story, he includes the detail and he says, I went up there by revelation. Now watch the rest of verse 2. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them. So that'd be the guys at Jerusalem. That gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So what is it that Paul is communicating to them? He's communicating to them the contents of the gospel that he preached among who? Which, oh, by the way, is a gospel that according to chapter 1, those guys at Jerusalem had nothing to do with. He didn't learn it from them. He didn't get it from them. They didn't teach it to him. He got it by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. So now Christ, by revelation, sends him up there to testify to what God is now doing, what he is now doing among the Gentiles. People get all weird about Cornelius in Acts 10. Let me just say, I believe, briefly, that the reason why that happened is so that at this meeting at the Jerusalem Council, who stands up and says, hey, you guys remember when I went to Cornelius? Is Peter able, through his experience with Cornelius, to give a testimony that corroborates what Paul is doing and saying? He communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. When Paul got there, he told them exactly, you know how this goes. You know how this goes in the 21st century with social media. Hey, did you guys hear what that guy in Grand Rapids is teaching? He's such a lunatic. He's crazy. Right? And then there's chatter and stuff said, and before you know it, like, the whole internet's ablaze with what crazy thing is being said in Grand Rapids. You know how it goes, right? Well, imagine the first century. He's got to go there himself, and he sits there in front of these guys, and he says, I don't know what you guys have heard, but this is what I'm doing. Okay? Paul was preaching. Go to Acts 13. What was he preaching? He was preaching justification by grace through faith apart from the law of Moses. The exact message that the Judaizers were opposing. We just read it. Were they saying, and was the whole reason for the Jerusalem Council meeting, because some Pharisee dudes were saying that they needed to be circumcised and keep the law to be saved. What's Paul preaching? He's preaching the opposite of that. Acts 13. For the sake of time, verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Christ, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He's talking this to Gentiles now. And by him all that believe, well, Jewish people, he's talking to them as though they're Gentiles. He's in the synagogue here in Antioch, Pisidia. Verse 39. And be it known, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by what? Is that the exact opposite of what these Judaizing Pharisees were teaching in Jerusalem? So Jesus Christ says to him, Paul, I need you to go to that meeting. I need you to tell them what you've been preaching. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. Now look at the next clause. But privately to to them which were of reputation. That's a fascinating statement. What does it mean? When Paul got there, did he call an open-air church meeting in Jerusalem to tell everybody what he was preaching? Or did he meet privately with the apostles, those who he thought were of reputation, so that he can tell them without interruption? Let me just say, like, I can understand what he's saying there. I have thoughts and ideas about verses sometimes that I will call another pastor friend of mine and say, hey, what do you think of this or that before I stand up here and just say it? Because I want some correction if I'm like way in left field or something. Okay? So I understand what he's saying here. Privately to them which were of reputation. Okay? Now, the context would kind of tell you who that might be. Drop down to verse 9. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace given unto me. So we know that these guys privately that were of reputation includes at least James, Cephas, that's Peter, and who? And John. Those would be the core group of the ones that he would probably want to confer with privately and share that with. You have at least three of them identified for you there, right in the immediate context in verse 9, right? So he wants to privately set forth the gospel that he preached. Okay, to the leadership at Jerusalem. And then he says, at the end of the verse, lest by any means I should run or had run, how? In vain. What is he getting at? Does he know? Paul knows. First of all, has the Lord appeared to him in a trance and said that Jerusalem's not going to receive what you have to say? So now the Lord appears to him again. And he says, go up there by revelation, and tells him to go to the meeting. So Paul's not a dummy. He's not going to go up there and have an open-air session where anybody can comment. He wants to have a closed-door meeting with those of reputation, the core leadership of that Jerusalem church, so that he can share with them what it is that he was preaching, lest, he says at the end of the verse, lest by any means I should run or had run what? Would it have been a vain effort for him to get up there, have an open-air preaching session, and try to convince the entire Jewish nation that he was right? So that's exactly not what he did. He didn't do that. He sought out the leadership, and he wanted to meet with them privately. And we know that was this meeting invaded by false brethren. How do you know that? Verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. I take that to be those Pharisees of Acts 15 who were saying that they needed to be circumcised and keep the law. It's amazing how you can have this whole thing. You guys know I like Lord of the Rings, okay? Do you remember the scene in the Fellowship of the Ring when they're having a private council meeting to decide what's going to happen to the ring? And the hobbits are like hiding in the bushes. And Elrond actually says, it is amazing, you know, that you guys are here. It's amazing that you're here. We're having a private meeting and you're here and you're not supposed to be. That's exactly what's going on here. Okay? Paul wants to meet with those of reputation. He wants to meet with them privately. And were there people who crashed the meeting to make a mess of it? Okay? So, Jerusalem church, and this is all extremely important. The expression in vain means empty or to no purpose. So this must not be interpreted to mean that Paul thought his gospel might be an error. Paul did not go up there to say, hey guys, do you think this is true? You think I'm right? Because if you are, I'm open to correction. He did not go up there for that. He went up there for the purpose of telling them what he was doing among the Gentiles. And that's exactly what happened. They perceive, we'll study this in more detail in a minute, but look at verse 6. But those who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Did they tell Paul anything he didn't already know? Nope. Look at the next two words. Verse 7. but contrarywise. So if they didn't tell Paul anything Paul didn't already know, but contrarywise, that means Paul told them stuff they didn't want. Because as Paul had further revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? But contrarywise, verse 7, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he who wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto who? Circumcision. And by the way, the heathen there means everybody. The circumcision there means the little flock. The believing remnant of who? Israel. Did Paul now have an every man ministry? So we can see to the point here is that Paul is not going to the Jerusalem meeting to check his teaching with them to see if it's okay. Rather, Christ has sent him to the meeting to emphatically communicate and make it known that a different gospel, a different apostleship, and a different ministry has been committed to who? To him. So the point Paul is making here is that his gospel was not confirmed by the Jewish leaders. It was not open to discussion. Okay? What Paul is doing there is he's going there to teach them about what God is now doing among who? Yes, Peter had the vision of the sheet, Cornelius and all that stuff, but who is the one to whom God revealed the full scope and the full totality of what he's now doing among the Gentiles? It was not Peter, it was who? It was Paul. So as we think about Galatians 2, just to summarize, recap just a few things, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 are not the famine relief effort of Acts 11. They're the Jerusalem Council meeting of Acts 15. I gave you four reasons in this message for why I believe that, as well as some other side points that I think corroborate that understanding. Acts 11 does not mention Jerusalem. Acts 11 does not mention Titus. The timing doesn't work, and there's no reason for me to believe that Paul is doing stuff because Agabus is telling him to. That does not cohere with the context of Galatians 1 and 2. He is there by revelation. He goes up by revelation, and he goes for the express purpose of telling these guys at Jerusalem what his message, gospel, and apostleship are. So, next Sunday, we will move on with the exposition here of Galatians chapter 2. And I just want to say, I hope that this is what real Bible study is. Real Bible study is sometimes hard. It hurts your brain a little bit. It asks you to put a thinking cap on, okay? It's not necessarily high emotion and all, you know, airy-fairy and warm and touchy. It's hard work is what it is. The Bible says that much study is a weariness to the flesh. You're up late, you're up early, you're doing what you need to do to really understand it, but you're going to have to compare Scripture with Scripture, you're going to compare verse with verse, and you're going to have to be meticulous in the way you go through things. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for your word this morning, for what we can understand from it. We are grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ. We pray that we would have clarity and understanding about these issues here related to Galatians chapter 2 and Acts 15. That we will understand that this is not the famine relief effort, but this is the Jerusalem Council meeting. We're grateful for all that you've done for us.